Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated. After a tough and discouraging day at work, Melvin came home and he sat down on the couch and he moaned to his wife, "Nobody cares for me. In fact, the whole world hates me." And his wife, without even looking up from what she was doing, she said, "The whole world couldn't possibly hate you because most of them don't even know you." Well, I wonder if you've ever felt like somebody hates you, or maybe you've been the one who's done the hating. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus says something that is pretty startling, something seemingly out of character with him. He says something that really kind of baffles many people as they look at it. Take out your bulletin, if you will, and turn to our gospel lesson today from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 26. That's on page 6 in your bulletins. And Jesus says, it says this in Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." Well, that doesn't sound like anything a loving Jesus would say. It seems so contrary to all the other things that he seems to have said in all the other Gospels. So what is this all about? You may not realize it, but there are two places in the New Testament where we are commanded to hate. One of those is in this passage. The other is in Romans chapter 12, when Paul says, "Hate what is evil." And so imagine, what would you do if I said to you this morning, if anyone wants to come to this church, they have to hate their father and mother, sister and brother, wife and children, and even their own lives. I imagine some of you would kind of get up and walk out, probably in a hasty exit from this place. So what was Jesus talking about here? I mean, we would say the opposite is probably true, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we say that if you don't love your brother, or you can't love God? Love God first and love others as yourself really is the central theme of the Christian doctrine. That's why when it comes to our passage in Luke today, it's so strange and so unusual to hear what Jesus had to say. Now, there may be someone here who hates a relative, hates a family member of some sort, and you're kind of saying, "Okay, thank you, Jesus, I appreciate that. Thank you for giving me the permission to hate my family member." But that's not really what he's talking about here. As I began to seriously look at this passage and consider what it was saying, I read many of the commentators who commented on this particular passage, and most of them ended up saying that Jesus really didn't mean what he was saying. And if you think about it, I know many people who believe in Jesus today who don't think that he really meant that either. There are many people who actually look at the teachings of Jesus, and many times try to just kind of dismiss them by saying, "Well, he really didn't mean that." But we say that quite often when it comes to certain passages in Scripture related to Jesus. For example, there's one passage in Mark chapter 16 that has Jesus saying, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned." I know that many who believe in the Scriptures, believe in Jesus, really can't believe that he actually said that. And then they want him to really have stopped there. But he continues on in Mark chapter 16 by saying these words, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So did Jesus really mean that? Well, yes, he did. Because as we read in the book of Acts, all those things he talked about were fulfilled. All those things happened. The word hate in the Greek language really is something that is unusual here. And certainly when Jesus talks to this crowd, he's talking to people that were following him, wanting to find out if he was the Messiah. And so as they were following him, he wanted to kind of begin to weed out those who were true followers and those who were just curious. And so as he was saying these things, he was really pointing out that there's a battle going on between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. The only question that counts is, whose side are you on? Nothing, and that means nothing or nobody, should really separate us from following Jesus. The people that listened to him must have been thinking, do I really have to hate my family members? And that really goes against everything that I was raised as a Jew to believe. Jesus was perhaps using hyperbole here, was using an exaggeration to shock people into thinking about their relationship with him. To force them to think, why are you following me? Are you really following me for the right reasons? The word hate in the Greek is meseo, and aside from the normal connotation, it also means to love less. And this is not the opposite of love, but love to a lesser degree. What Jesus is saying here is not that we should hate our family in the traditional sense of the word hate, but that we have a choice to make. And that choice is, who do we love most? And that's a valid question for him to ask us. When Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain, he did so because God commanded him to sacrifice his son Isaac on the mountain. So when they got up on the mountain and Isaac saw what his father Abraham was about to do and what he ended up not doing, he realized that his father had a priority. His father had an obedience to someone higher than himself. He had a commitment to God that superseded anything that he was going to do on this earth. And so Isaac saw that commitment that Abraham had to God, and he carried that over not only to his life, but also to future generations in the line of Abraham. And it even is carried over to us today. In fact, that the word hate that was used there is something that we might say, are we glad that Abraham hated Isaac? The hate served to establish a blessing of the love of God for all of us. So I want to ask a question. Do your loved ones know where your allegiance lies? What he's telling us is that we must choose the priority of our relationships. And specifically, Jesus is telling us that if we're truly going to follow him, then nothing, not even our family, should keep us from following him. Now look at verse 27. Jesus said, "And whoever does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciples." In Roman times, when someone saw someone else carrying a cross, they knew that they were going to a place where they would ultimately die. They were going to a place of crucifixion. When they saw Jesus carrying his cross, they knew that that was the end of his life. And so they realized that carrying the cross was really equivalent to someone going to their death. And so I imagine when Jesus said this to his disciples, that they should carry their own cross, they were probably terrified, thinking, am I going to have to carry my cross to the place of crucifixion? So what does it mean to carry one's cross? Well, Jesus knows that it's his Father's will that he goes to the cross and dies. And he is willing to submit himself to the will of the Father. But he's also going to the cross for those he loves, for the people who would ultimately put their trust in him and follow him. He was willing to die to show God's love for all of us. He knows that he's going to go through a painful time. He's going to go through a great suffering. But he knows that God's plan will ultimately triumph and that he will rise from the dead on the third day. So to carry your cross means to fully put your trust in God amid the storms and battles of life. It means that although we may be in an extremely difficult or painful situation, we have the promise that God will always be with us through all of that suffering. I think also Jesus wants us to know that he wants to put to death other things in our lives. He wants to put to death those aspects of the sinful nature that really are contrary to the nature of God. Those things that really are against his will. He wants to instead replace those things with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, things like that. He wants to replace all the negative aspects of our human nature with the good things of his nature. And so that's why he wants us to take up our cross so that those things can be put to death and can be replaced by the new things of his Spirit. As Christians, we try to live according to the will of God and according to the commandments of God. And as we do that, we're living in a way that is contrary to the way the culture tells us to live. Living this way often brings persecution, temptation, and pain. We must carry our cross with Jesus. But the promise is, as we carry our cross, He walks the way of the cross with us. Just as Jesus rose again on the third day, those who love God and trust in Him shall have victory, whether it's in this life or certainly in the life to come. In the rest of our passage today, Jesus calls His hearers to count the cost of following Him. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus says, "No one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." There are many people who perhaps believe in Jesus. Maybe they committed their life to Him. Maybe they've asked Him to come into their life and be their Savior. But then difficulties come. Trials come. Struggles come. Temptations come. Maybe they suffer a loss. And all of a sudden they realize a Christian life is a difficult life. It's hard following Jesus. And so they give up. They abandon the Savior. Jesus said on one occasion, "Those who leave father and mother, wife and children, and others will receive a hundredfold in this lifetime and in the life to come." He promises that as we choose to follow Him, then we will receive blessings not only in this life, but in the life to come. God says in the Old Testament lesson today, "This day I call you to the heavens and the earth to witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him." So if Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and we commit our lives to Him, we choose to follow Him, then we're choosing life. He wants us to walk in the way of life, not only on this earth, but also into eternal life with Him. I had a professor one time that said, "Following Jesus is not easy, but it's always worth it. It's always worthwhile." So I want to ask you the question, where are you now? Do you hate anything that is keeping you from following Jesus? Is Jesus your first priority in life? Whose side are you on? Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You were willing to show Your love for us by being willing to die on the cross. But Lord, at the same time, You ask us to not only to receive the salvation that You offer to us, but also to follow You as our Savior, to follow You as our Lord. Lord, would You give us the ability not only to carry our cross each day, to die daily to the things that are not of You, and to embrace the things that You want us to embrace, but would You also empower us to be able to follow Your will and to follow Your commandments? Lord, we pray that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit so that we might not only be able to walk the way of the cross, but also to receive all the blessings that come along with that. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.